Okay, continuing to go. Okay, tell you a little bit more because the Mishnah, till the Mishnah. The Mishnah gets complicated. Let's go Gemara here. So let's continue. Suffig by seven lines on the top. On daf lamaches amar aleph. Suffig, the child, we're not sure if it came from the Reuven who died or from Shimon the Yavam. And the Yavam, Shebo'u lachleik benichsei Saba, the grandfather Reuven and Shimon's father passed away and now they're coming to the vide. Suffig, this boy who's a Suffig said, look, maybe I gavna bar mishnu, maybe I'm Reuven's son, therefore I'm entitled to half the Yerusha, upal godi dihu, and half is mine. Yavam, Amma Yavam says, 1 second, ad baroi didiyad, you're really my son, and therefore you get nothing. I get all of it. V'les lach v'lemi, you have nothing. So what happens? Have a Yavai vada, Yavam vada. The Yavam definitely gets half from his father. So even though in the half they're arguing he's not a vada, but he definitely has a shaychus to his father. The suffix, suffix. The suffix maybe has nothing, because he maybe his only connection to the Zaydis through Shimon. Therefore, we have a rule that ain't suffering made to me. So the Shimon gets all of it, the Yavam gets all of it.
What would you say in today's day and age where they can do DNA testing and they can push it, see the Vados, who's who?
I don't know if he does go, so this whole Shiloh come up, and I don't know how they conclude. It's definitely not a Vados. DNA is not Vados. DNA is 1 out of 7 million, whatever it is. It's not Vados. It's very compelling. So the question is whether it's considered circumstantial evidence and halacha and so on and so forth. You have a concept called the Ruba de Muchach. No, no. Safik ubnei Yavam. Next case. You have a Safik ubnei Yavam. So Shimon Reuven died, obviously. Then the boy was born, the mother married Shimon. We're not sure the child from Reuven from Shimon. But then Shimon died also. Then the grandfather died. Everybody's dying. Safik ubnei Yavam. So now you have the Safik and the Bnei Yavam arguing. Shabo lachnis Yavam. I'm coming to argue on the state of the Zayda. Suffolk, the Suffolk says, interesting case. Ahu gavra ba mishnu, he says, look, I am Reuven's sons, I'm entitled to half of the Zayda's estate. And my two brothers, who Shimon's sons, you guys are entitled to the other half. Upal gadidiyu, half is mine. Ubnei Yavam, Ami, the children of the Yavam say, no, achvanat, you are our brother, therefore we get all of it, and you only get a third. Umansi izlag bahadon, palga, you have a share, mansi izlag bahadon, you have a share with us. So this is how it works. When he says half is mine, the suffix is half is mine. So what you say, who does the other half belong to? To you. So the palga, the half that he's made to them, shakli, they take half. Tilsa the kamaidale, they say, you're one of our brothers. We're three. So you're entitled to a third. So let's assume there's six coins. Six, something divisible by six.
Six units.
So the first guy says three belongs to Shimon's children. Fine. Shimon's children say that two belong to Reuven, to the Suffolk, because if the six, you're a third. So they're only arguing about one. And what you do, you divide that in half. So that six becomes a 12th each.
But you always divide from the principal amount. What do you say? You say you take half, and therefore there's only the six you take.
No, the original tiny. The original tiny, yeah.
You divide the one which is in dispute.
Yeah. But from the original amount. Yeah, exactly what it is. Exactly. It's a shakel. So the commodity shakel. Partial who dankers left over a sixth. Having mum was having for chalkin. So that is divided. Last case. What about Sava of the Yavam, the Zayde, and Shimon? The Yavam are argued, the Safik died. Nichse Safik, now we know a person dies, the father is the first one to Yashin. If there's no children. So, what happens if the Safik died? The Zayde says it's Reuven's son, therefore, I step in. You're an uncle. I'm a Zayde. Zayde comes first. Shimon says, no, he's my son. I inherit him. The nichse safik.
So it's a father arguing with his son.
Grandfather. Yeah.
It's a father arguing with his surviving son.
Yeah, which could happen.
Yeah.
That's what Yusuf does usually. Yeah. Safik. What happens? The Zayd and then Safik are arguing. Nichse Yom Shimon died. The
middle generation.
Yeah. Yeah, Shimon died, and the Suffolk says, I'm Shimon's son, and the Zayda says, no, you're Reuven's son. I'm taking over Shimon. In all these cases, we don't know who's right, so you divide. Okay, now let's follow in this Mishnah now. This woman is a Shemer. Okay, Reuven dies, his wife has to marry Shimon. That state of flux while she's waiting to marry Shimon, she's called a Shemeres Yavam. And we had a big machlekes in the beginning of the morning a few times whether she's considered knotted already to Shimon. Is there a tie between them or not? Till now we're talking about Issa. Now we're going to talk about money, financial. What is the status financially? Like if she dies, who inherits her and all that kind of stuff. So Shemedes Yavam, this woman Rachel was waiting to marry Shimon. Shenaflu lan dechasim. While she was waiting, suddenly she yashin from her father. She yashin from her father. And right now we're learning pshat that she yashined this estate while she's waiting for Shimon to marry. She didn't marry Shimon yet, but she got this new estate after Reuven died. Beishamay Beisil, Tzemoidim Beishamay Beisil. Everyone agrees, and there's no argument here. Shemaycheda, she's independent since Reuven didn't. Her husband, the first husband, wasn't around when she got this. She didn't yet marry the second husband, so right now she's independent to a certain degree. That the money that she inherits is hers. Shemaycheda, she can sell it. Veneisenes, give it away. Vekayim, and everything that she does remains intact. Okay, what happens, Mesa? What happens? She inherited and she died, or she died after she inherited. Who yashes her? Her original family or Shimon, her husband's family? So question number one is Ma yasa b'ksuva. So what do you do with her ksuva? Who inherits the ksuva? The her original family or her husband's family?
From Reuven.
Uven nechasim hanechnosim v'yoytzim imo. You have two kinds of estate that a woman brings into a marriage. There's nichse tzem barzel and nichse melug. Melug literally means plucked. Nichse tzem barzel is you fix a price, you say this land is worth $100, and this is when I leave, I want this land worth $100. Any price fluctuations in this land goes to the husband. So that's considered really the husband's land.
Even if it's a loss?
Yeah, loss or gain.
So any guaranteed value.
Yes.
Fixed
asset. Then you have a thing called nichsi melug. Nichsi melug literally means plucked, because any increase or decrease of value are hers. In fact, so the state is totally hers. Even while she's married to the husband, the nichsi melug belong to her. The only thing is the husband, because he puts in all the effort and the work, he can reap the dividends. So he gets the pay this. That's
so
what the melug. Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. But here we're not going to go into that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's called nichosim hanichnosin v'yaitzim. It goes in and goes out with her. When she leaves, it's hers. It's always hers. So the question is, if she dies, who inherits these properties? And right now we're learning it's also talking about the ksuva. Who gets her ksuva? Beishamay, I mean, Shammai says, we don't know yachleiku. We divide yoyshe habalim yoyshe of. What do you mean? Because since we're not sure if a shemedes yavim is considered married away to Shimon or not, it's a suffix. And whatever you, what do you do every time is a suffix? Well, we divide. So we divide the money as well between her original family and her husband's family. Yeah. But we'll see later that the ksuva, everyone agrees, goes to the husband's family. Why? Because till now, who had the money of the ksuva? The husband. Now the question is, that what happens to the ksuva? She died. So we'll say leave it status quo and leave it in the husband's family. So the ksuva we're going to see anymore later stays with the husband's family. It's her assets. We don't know yet if she's considered. So it's a suffix if she's considered married or not. Okay. Then the Gemara, that's Beshameh. Beshameh says, Nechasim Becheskasim, leave everything in their chazaka the way it was till now. So ksuva is in the husband's family and her estate with her original family. Ksuva Becheskas Yoshe Abal. The ksuva goes to the husband's family because that's where the money came from first. And the chosim hanichnosin v'yaitzin ima, and the state that she brought in is becheskes yeshav, goes to her original family. What happens if konsa she get married? Hadikish chodava, she's completely considered his wife. If she dies, of course he inherits her. Now the Gemara will ask later what's the point of the Mishnah. It's obvious. He married her; it's just his wife. Ubelvad she take ksuva nichse bayil harishon. Provided, what exactly means we'll see tomorrow later, that the ksuva comes from the first husband's estate. No, it's not Shimon who has to pay out the ksuva, it's Reuven's estate that has to pay out her ksuva. Whenever she gets a ksuva, let's say she's divorced or whatever it is, the ksuva comes from Reuven's estate. We'll see later why.
This, apart from the issue of the ksuva, isn't that a similar principle that it's just Ailsa and she dies?
We'll see tomorrow and we'll talk about it. So why? Let's understand two cases in the Mishnah. The first case in the Mishnah, she was a shemedes yavam, and you know, and she inherited something, but she was alive. We say everyone agrees she can do whatever she wants. The moment she dies, suddenly we Rishama said you divide, but we're not sure what she is. What's the chiluk if she's alive or she's dead? Why should there be a difference? If she's independent when she's alive, when she's dead, she still is independent, so she go back to her original family, not the husband's. She's independent. What's going on here? There's no argument that if she's alive, nobody argues that she's totally independent. And you can do whatever you want. Umayish no safe. And why is it when she dies, suddenly the pligi? Shammai says, look, let's divide it. What's going on here? Omar Ulas will have a number of answers in the Gemara. Ula comes in the first answer and he says, Reisha, the Reisha is talking about two different cases. Not a difference whether she's alive or she's dead. It's a difference of whether she actually got was married to Reuven or she was just engaged to Reuven. That's the difference. Which one is the chair? You can put it over there. We'll take it.
Sorry.
So Ula says, Reisha dinafla kishiharusa. Ula says the Reisha is talking about that she fell kishiharusa, that she was only engaged to Reuven, which Mahatayda she's considered engaged, and because she was only engaged to Reuven, therefore she's still when Reuven dies she has to marry Shimon. She's still considered independent, and something happens, that's why she can do whatever she wants, sell and everything else. However, the Sefer is talking about the nafla kishinasua. The Sefer is talking about that Reuven, she was married to Reuven, then Reuven died. If she was married to Reuven and then she's now waiting for Shimon, she's in a much deeply, much more entrenched to Shimon. And therefore, the machlek is whether we, you know, it's half of her, you know, suffix, whether she's still married or not. That's the difference. Ukisavar ula holds. Zikas arusa, if she was only engaged to Reuven and now Reuven dies, she's now attached to Shimon. What does it, the attachment is always one notch lower than you were with the original man. Kolzman, you didn't get married to Shimon. Then all she is a Safek Arusa. All she is a Safek Arusa. Zika Nesua, is a Safek Nesua. But if, in case number two, she was married to Shimon and then Shimon died, she's now considered a Safek Nesua. Now we explain. Zikas Arusa, Oisa Savgarusa. So in the first case in the Mishnah, she was only engaged to Reuven, and then Reuven died. So now what's her attachment to Shimon? She's one step lower. She's a suffix whether she's engaged. Engaged, that's why the Mishnah says she's independent. Right now she can sell whatever she wants. Anything she gets, she inherits now from her late father, she can give away because she's not really tied to Shimon.
So in other
words, you're tied to Shimon as an Arusa tie, not a marriage tie. But it's one step lower than that. Whatever it is, it's always one, because you didn't get tied or not. She's one step lower. A step lower than Arusa, which is like very, very weak. Yeah. Okay. Because the Gemara says, the Isaac, if you're going to say Vade Arusa, why do you have to say she's a step lower? She's only a Safek Arusa. Because if she would have been definitely engaged, if we'll treat her as if she was engaged to Shimon, what's it in Bechlal if a woman is engaged and then the woman dies? Who inherits her? It says in the Mishnah that everyone is Maidim, whatever she did, she did. Hill taka holds a woman is engaged and then she dies at the, or a woman is engaged, she's independent. But now we learned, a general woman, not a Yivama, a woman generally who's engaged and she inherits something. Who owns it? Beishamai says she's independent. Timka. So, but Beishil, I'm like Timka. Beis Hillel says lechatchila she's engaged to get married, she is not totally independent, autonomous, and therefore she has to hang on to it till her husband marries her husband. Lechatchila, but elu ele moedim she imachav and also can be David's all right. Now, if you can learn pshat now Mishnah that when she was engaged to Reuven and Reuven dies and now she's attached to Shimon, she's on the same level that she's an engaged woman. How can moedim b'sham Beis Hillel she's lechatchila allowed to sell her estate? Hillel holds an engaged woman lechatchila shouldn't sell her estate. Must be that the shemeres yavam is one step lower. So during with Reuven she was engaged. What is she to Shimon? Kolzman, she didn't get married. She is a Safik Arusa. Safik Arusa, then even Hillel's Maida. Go ahead and sell whatever you want. Elishma mino zikas Arusa oise Safik Arusa. Let's just do Rashi on the page. Rashi is safe for the Gabinasua, but Alma, generally by marriage, I mean the comedy of how everyone agrees that if a woman is married, if she inherits something while she's married to her husband, and she decides to sell it around, the husband can just pull her away because she had no right to. So if she was married to Reuven, Reuven dies, and now she's attached to Shimon. What is he? One notch lower than that. What's a notch lower than a Nesuah? A Safik Nesuah. The Safik is Safik. The like Nesuah Mama, she's not Mama, she's like Mary Kaiman. There's only a Safik. In this case, because it's a step lower than Nesuah, we don't know where she belongs, so it should be divided. Well, the Beis Hillel Chazakah, the Beis Hillel, Basil Chazak is Basil says no. We look at the status quo, what it was till now, and if till now it was her side of the family, that's where it stays. Next Rashi, Zikas Arusa, Zikas Yevama, that attachment that a woman has to her brother-in-law. Shenoflim and Elison, if she came out of an engagement, Safik Arusa is only considered a Safik Arusa. But Leivade Arusa, not Avade. Avagav Legam Nechasim, Ein Loshum Koyach Behen, even though regarding his estate, her estate, he doesn't really have any powers. Arusa, so we see that, wow, that's sort of meaningless. Why? Because of Arusa. You shouldn't say, you can't say there's nothing at all. No, but Safik Chalitza is a made-up name. Safik Chalitza really means, Safik Arusa really is a made-up name. What's Safik Arusa? It means really nothing. But we don't want to say nothing because she needs a Chalitza.
Financial, it's nothing, but for
exactly.
But there is a
zikah. For Issa, there is. Yeah. Next, Rashi, if you're going to say it's Mamash Arusa, the hill is Moila Chatchila, she can sell. That's okay. Back to the Gemara. That's the first part of the Mishnah. So Ulu explains the first part of the Mishnah is she was engaged to Reuven. Of course, she was engaged, and then when he dies, so she is now attached to Shimon, very weak, so she can Chatchila sell her estate. The Sefer is talking about she was married to Reuven, then Reuven died. Now she's, like I said, almost married to Shimon, on one notch lower, says the Gemara Vayter. Zikas Nesua, Oisa Sofik Nesua, but a Zikas Nesua, what does that accomplish? That makes it one step lower, a Sofik Nesua. A Sofik Nesua. And that's why Shammai says a Sofik, therefore we divide it between the two families, the original family and the new family, to know where it belongs. And Hill says, leave things status quo. How do you know it's only a Sofik Nesua? Maybe it's a Vadi Nesua. Could he say that Vadi Nesua? You can say that, what, that the attachment to Shimon as if she's already married to Shimon. Beshammai, Eimim Yachloiku. Beshammai says, Yachloiku, what should you do? Yachloiku, Yoshe, Baalim, Yoshe. Oh, that's a Beshammai Paschal, right? Beshammai says, if Reuven dies and now she's attached to Shimon, and then she inherits something and she's dead, what happens? You divide it between her husband's estate and her original estate. That's the case. But now we learn a Fadish, Nafula, Nechasi, Mishinisas, that if, let's say, Nechasi fell after she got married, everyone's made she imachra, after she got married, she sold it, Vinosna, Shabal, Maid, Yelkuchas. She can't sell it once they're married. So if you can tell me that if she was married to Reuven, Reuven dies, she's now considered married to Shimon, then why would Shammai say that if she sells the properties, it's a suffering, we divide between the family of her father's family and her husband's family, when Shammai clearly says, once you're married, you can't sell anything. That I, she's not really married. She's one step lower than that. She's in the suffering Nesura. Rashi, oh, he's a suffering Nesura. Can you appreciate it? I said before, the kid of the Nesura, Baal, Mayin, the Kuchas. Had it been really definitely married, the husband could take it away from the Kuchas. Hoch, here, the suffering Nesura, he's only one step lower. Having the Chas in Besafik. It's a suffering. Ula Beshammai, the best thing to do is Chaluka. If Shammai said, if you don't know what to do, the best thing is to divide. They're both equal. The Yod Doiki Yod Da. Both families are equal. Well, the Basil says no. Chazaka, the status quo is better. The Ain Yod Doiki Yod Da. His, the husband's family is not as powerful as her original family. Because why? Because when did all this take place? After Reuven died. Had she inherited when Reuven was alive, a whole different story. As we'll soon see. This all happened. Right now we're learning. It all happened after Reuven died. So the first husband had no shaykh. Exactly. It's only a question of her relationship now to Shimon, and her relationship to Shimon is one step lower than whatever was with Reuven, and that's the difference between the beginning and the middle of the mission. Not whether she was alive or she was dead, whether she was engaged or married.
So and property one. Should have a lesser relationship to Shimon.
That's exactly what we're saying, yeah. Omelet Rabba says, Rabba, I don't like his pshat. He says to Ula, so you're saying that why the chalukah, that the Shammai holds the chalukah is better than the chazak. So why? Why is the Mishnah then changed from the first case in the Mishnah she's still alive and the second Mishnah she died? What's the relevance of the fact that she died? Why is that in the gay here? And also, why do you have to argue about the property itself? Who gets it? Liflugu b'chayel peidus. Who gets the produce now? The same machlekes would be regarding the produce. Does the husband have a share in the produce? Will he status quo? But since, according to Bisham, the way you're learning Bisham is, it's one step lower than getting married. So therefore, maybe the husband has no share, and it goes. And it's not only a question of who owns the property, who gets the dividends. Same question. So why, first of all, why is Mr. Chain talk that she died? Who cares that she died? It's irrelevant, according to Ulu's Pshat. And why are we talking about the property, not about the dividends, the payers? So therefore, Rabbi comes along, he holds him Pshat. Elam, but Rabbi says, Rabbi, Edi, both cases in the Mishnah talking about the Nofel Kishizor, she was married to Reuven, and then Reuven died. And Vezikin Nesuya Oisem, and I agree with you that if you're, she's now her attachment to Shimon is on the level of a Suffolk. So what's the two cases in the Mishnah then? The Chilik is whether she died or whether she's alive. Reisha, why should there be a difference? Reisha, the ihi kaima in the Reisha, she's still alive. So therefore, have the lo ihi vadai, she is a vadai, because till now, who owns the property? Even nichsim malug, even after she married her husband, who owns the property? She still owns the property. The question is only dividends. Since she owns the property, so she's a vadai. She has something. The inu safik, the rest of the family is a safik, whether she's considered engaged to Shimon, do they have a connection or not? And what's the rule? They so much the vaday. So the Reisha, therefore, she can sell and do whatever she wants, because she's the vaday. However, Sefer, the Mesa, once she's dead, so each one is coming to claim based on Yerusha. So the Sai, her family, and Sai, her husband's family, both come to claim it's had Yerusha. There's no vaday here anymore. That's the safik. Who is entitled to? That's why we divide. Married. And the principle is hers either way. Her chazak is stronger. Even if she's married to Shimon, the nichsim malug belong to her. Say for her, since she's dead, each one claims, stake their claim based on Yerusha. Still, I say the chazak is first. Why? That it goes back to her family. Why do you go back to her family if she's dead? Because since Kraven Vadoina, they're definitely related to her. With Shimon, we're not sure yet if he's related, right? Because we're saying it's a suffix Nesuyan. But her biological family are her biological family. So that makes them the Vadai, and therefore give them the status quo. Therefore, they have the chazak. Will it pay this? I feel the Mishnah made in the Chazkas Kayev. The Shokel Bami takes nothing. Okay, back to the Gemara. That's Rabba. As usual, his Talmidim will let him go. Eisei Abaye. So Abaye right away jumps at him, and he says, "So you're telling me the whole Varti is that because there's a Safek and a Vadai? That's what Bishamai says." And that Nereisha, everyone is Maida. Even Bishamai is Maida. We don't divide it. We give it all to her. She's alive. He has everything right because she's a Vadai and they're a Safik. In other words, you're telling me Bishamai agrees with this principle that a Safik cannot override a Vadai, which we have that rule everywhere. But Shammai doesn't agree with that rule. How do I know? Ula Bishamai ain't Safik Maitzimid Vadai. You can tell me Shammai doesn't hold of a Safik Vadai, but now then we learn what happens if Nafal Habayis Olav Aloviv. What happens if the house falls on him and on his father? The child has no estate of his own. Everything belongs to the Zayde. The Al-Mayrishav. The house fell on him, on his father, or him, on those who inherit, or those other relatives that are going to be Maidish to him. Now the question is very important, who died first? On this person, who's the father of this boy, who's having... The question is like this. Who died first? If the father died first, then the son yashin his father for a second.
And then the
Yerusha goes down to the son. If the son died first, he didn't have anything, or whatever he had, the father was alive, so it went to the father, and then the father then passes on to his family. So it's important to know who died first. So Nafal Abayis, Olav, Aloviv, Olav, Amarisha, V'hoya Olav, let's say, and what's the dispute between? V'hoya Olav, Ksuvas, Isha, the son who died, had debts. The Baal Chayv will come running over and say, "Ah, the son died second, so therefore he inherited everything for that split second. Give us our Chayv." And obviously the son's family says, no, the son died first, went to the father, and therefore the son had never yashin a cent. You go to bankrupt the state and take whatever you want. You had nothing. Or Isha, or a woman who claims a ksura. Or a Baal Chayv, the father say, "Aben meisish," and the son died first, "V'achikach meisav," and then the father, so you have nothing. The father died first, and the son Yashin, and everything belongs to him. So what happens? Bishamai says Yachloiku, and Basil says leave things where they were before. So if the father had the estate before, and now we know who died first, as if it's still been the father, and it goes through the father. But Shammai says you divide. Now what's his father? V'hocha yoshe avadai. Yoshe av is avadai because the Baal Chayv anyway cannot collect until he goes to Bezin and he has to go and produce a shtar, so he's not there. Whichever way he goes, the yoshe av definitely yorship somewhere. even if the son, even with the other way around, the father died first and the son, these are still the relatives of the son, right? They're the relatives of the son. So before the Baal Chayv comes along and produces and proves in the Bezin, these were the relatives until the Baal Chayv can prove otherwise. So they're Vaday, inheritors. And yet what do we see? Comes along Shammai and says, I don't care, Baal Chayv gets half. What happens to something about the angel of Nevada? He said, I don't believe in this whole principle. So he says, Gemara, so Rabbi answered back to him, you learned wrong pshat. Has nothing to do with Safik Vaday. You know why the Baal Chayv has a right over here? Because the Baal Chayv can come before the Yoshim. When we can come before the Yoshim? Because Shammai holds, Shtar ha'oimid ligu is kigavad dami. Hill doesn't agree with that. But Shammai holds that if you have a shtar, it's so certain, it's such a vadoy, you're going to collect, it's as if you collected already. And therefore, it's not that the Baal Chayv has to go to Bezin front up and prove that it's his. The Baal Chayv, as soon as the shtar was signed, it's already his. So therefore, who's the vada here? The two vadais, or two suffix. There's no one group that's more certain than the other group. How do I know that he holds that the Baal Chayv, the Baal Chayv, he's saying, you're dummy? Even though the Lach Basil, yet throughout Bob Basa, whenever we talk about a shtar and so on and so forth, we always use the Svar of Bishamai. So it's one of the hard ones to understand, and Ban and others ask. The Lach Basil, and yet most of the dinim in Bob Basa are based on the fact that a shtar is Nach Mechus Gevainas, as if it's a collector already. Migal Hachil Aminin, but with a shtar, we do say, because it's a very, it's Migal Harzik. Anyway, we're not Tame Haino Shamai holds that a shtar is written as if you collect already. It now we learned Meisu. Basil says, go to Chazok in the status quo, because there's no... You need to go to Bezin. No. The son owed money. Right? The suffix who died first. The Baal Chayv still has to prove his case. Right? He has to prove the shtar. The children... So forget all that. Who had the money till now? Before this case... Sorry? The son had no money of his own. Right. So, maybe, but how much will he get? Not enough. He wants his $1,000, and the whole Yerusha was $1,000, so five kids, is signed up 200. He wants $1,000. Why not?
If the father
dies. According to Shammai, he'll get 500. They split equally, because we don't know what happened here. Whatever it is. Or it's the other way around. The son is the one who had all the money and not the father. And now if the son had all the money, not the father. So the Baal Chayv can collect his whole chayv. Let's say the other way around. The son had $1,000. The father had zero. If the son died second, if the father died first, then the son has $1,000. The father had nothing to yashin. Father was destitute. The son had $1,000. If the son died after the father got nothing from the son. If the son would have died first, then all the money of the son would have gone to the father. All the money would have gone to the father. And then the Yoshe Av are talking about his brothers. There were no other children here. Then this Baal Chayv will get nothing. Nothing. Even though the son had all the money.
But if the father died first,
then the son gets all the money. No, then the son gets all the money.
So then they can come and claim their debt.
The full amount. If he has no children of his own. You have to prove that. Naturally, he goes to the father. He's a vadai, because that's a fact. You have to prove that he owes a chayv. So therefore, by the time you prove it, the father already had it. So he's a vada. Let's go back to it. How do we know?
That's a default. That's automatic. Upon his death, automatically the money transfers to the inheritors.
Let's go back to it. How do we know? Bishami holds that he gobbled on me. That now we learned... What happens if a woman that was on the waiting line to drink this? You know, she was accused of having committing adultery with this man, and she had to go and drink. She denied it, obviously. She had to go drink, and what happened? So the husband died before they had a chance to drink. So what's it in? Bishamay says, they're entitled to take the ksuva, but ain't chases. They don't drink. They only drink when the husband's alive. If there's no husband, you don't drink. But she's still entitled to take the ksuva. Basil says, "Oy shaysis, oy lo nightless." You know, ksuva there. You drink, then you'll prove it. If not, we not take a ksuva, because maybe you commit adultery, you forfeited your ksuva. What's that? Oy shaysis, oy lo nightless. How could he even give the option to drink? We know you cannot drink with the husband around. So the pasuk of Hebi Isha Ishtoy Menachmanu Veleka. Ella, what Hill meant to say was, so Shammai says she collects a ksuvah and Hill says you don't. Now, over here, the suffiku, over here, it's a suffik, right? Whether she was she a saita or wasn't she a saita? I mean, she's a saita, but suffik whether she committed adultery or not. Suffik zanoi, suffik lo zanoi. And yet, we, according to Shammai, she can collect a ksuvah. Why can't she collect a ksuvah? Why can't she collect the suffix against the vade? Well, because it's somebody's vade. The vade, the money belongs to the husband. The suffix is whether she's entitled to it. Anyway, because maybe she's the site. And yet she's collecting according to Shammai. Elish Mamina must be the reason is because she's not collecting. It's already hers. She's not taking from the husband. She's taking back her own thing. But how come Abaya learns that it has to do with suffix and vade rather than shtar or ligwais? And Abaya, furthermore, if Abaya believed in the principle that Rav Shammai holds, that a suffik overrides a vadai, why did he bring the case of Nafal Abayis Olav? Why did he bring this Mishnah from Seite, where it says clearly that she can collect the ksuvah? And here you see that a suffik makes it a vadai. If Abaya doesn't believe in Shtarah Emel Ligvos, he believes in suffik makes it a vadai, that's the Hezbo, why didn't he bring the Mishnah Seite? Why bring the other Mishnah there? Why did he bring the other Mishnah that's from Bobasa? So you know why? Because in Saita you can argue Dilma Ksuvah's Isha Shaina. Saita is talking about a ksuvah. Maybe Abaya felt that the Chacham had a weak spot for a ksuvah. Mishum Chinah, we want to be easy with the women. If women find out that it's tough for them to get a ksuvah, a husband just accuses them of a Saita and they lose the ksuvah, then women will be scared to get married. If they don't feel that security that they need. Okay. But that's why Abaya didn't want to bring the Gemara Saita down. But he brought the Gemara about Basa. They say clearly that a suffix is Majid Abade. The Laisek Ksuvah. The Masnisin Le Pligi. Yeah. The Leisik Suva, the Masnisin. So, why doesn't he bring the case in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Mata Hebik Suva. What does our Mishnah say? This woman dies. She's a suffering in the Suva. And our Mishnah just has to get preoccupied. What happens to Suva? The Mishnah says, Bisham, you divide in half. What do you mean divide in half? It's a Vadai, the husband's estate. The suffering if she's entitled to it. And yet, somebody's the Vadai. Why does the Bai bring from our Gemara right here? We're discussing our Gemara. Bring our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, you know why? The Masnisin Le Pligi. In our mission, there's no arguing about a ksuba. What do you mean? Everyone holds you go after the chazak, status quo. So there's no raya about suffering. Look, what do you mean they're arguing? It says the page of the Mishnah. Mesa, she dies. Ma yasa bi ksuba. So what do you do with the ksuba? Uven the chasim, an the chasim, an the chnosim, the yetzim, the state that brings, she brings in a marriage. Be shama, imim yachleki, divide. And even though by ksuba it's a suffix, whether she's entitled to or not, and we see that suffix can be made. See about it. Yoshe Balam Yoshe Av. So why didn't Abaya bring that? And Basil says in the Chazim Cheskasin. Hachikam, this is what he meant. Mesa, if she died, Mayasa Biksubasam. If she died, what should you do with the Ksuva? Full stop. Vishavkit. And the Mishnah leaves it alone. The Mishnah is a rhetorical question. So what do we do with the Ksuva, guys? And leaves it alone. And the answer for that would be, according to everybody, status quo. Because Suffolk is not Maitseme Devade. Maybe. Everyone holds status quo. She doesn't get a ksuva. Then the Mishnah continues. What about the chasim hanichnasim? That's when Bishamai says yachloiku yeshibav yeshav. The chasim is a kasa. Interesting way of reading the Mishnah. So they're not arguing about ksuva. There's no riot. There's no hechrich to say that a Mishnah they're arguing about ksuva, and then you'll conclude that sofik is maitzimer devadai. Okay, so that's how Rabba learned the Pshat and Machlekes, that the Mishnah Chilik is she's alive or she's dead, and if she's alive, she's a Muchzik, she's a Vadai and a Suffolk, and if she gets to keep it, and if she's dead, there's no Vadai anymore, both Slekes, that's what Shabbat says, divide, and Hillel says, no, you go out the Chazaka. In fact, the Mishnah proves like Rabba's Pshat, the Ketani, it says, Yachloiku Yoshe Habal V'im Yoshe Av. It says the Yoshe Habal collect Im Yoshe Av. What are we talking about? We're talking about something that already belonged to the Av. What belonged to the Av? Not the Ksuva. The Ksuva belongs to the husband's family. Who is entitled first to the... It's Nichsim Maluk, the estate that she brought from her father's house to this marriage. And it says that the Yoshe Habal now will take a stake in the Yoshe Av, which means we're talking about property that already belonged to the Av side of the family and we're taking half of it away. Obviously, we're talking about what? We're talking about Nichsim Maluk. But look, Tani doesn't say Yoshe Av Yoshe Baal. If we're talking about the Ksuva, who has to pay out the Ksuva? The husband's family. So if we're going to say, look, half the Ksuva they can collect, we should have said that the Yoshe Av take half with the Yoshe Baal. Because the Yoshe Baal retain the half that they were supposed to pay, they're not going to give it. And the Yoshe Av take half. Shmam Nozaraya. Start picking tomorrow.